This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions, 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. Welcome to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. Good. I just added the D again, didn't
I? Yes, you did.
Mr. Allman. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am excellent so far.
Just waking up, are you?
No, I'm full of vim and vigor right now.
Gotcha.
How are you guys?
Well, thank you very much.
I, too, am doing well also.
Did you enjoy the Northern Lights last night?
No. I mean, I didn't enjoy them.
I am sure if I had looked out and seen them, I would have enjoyed them. But I didn't
perfect answer
I didn't
for us.
Yeah, that
I
is
didn't
totally
give it,
a perfect answer.
Yeah, I didn't give it a thought to go look at all.
It was overcast by the time
exactly.
It would have happened here. But I saw a bunch of pictures posted from all over.
From local in San Diego?
No. But I saw some pictures from Tennessee and Arkansas and all sorts of places where you don't normally see Northern Lights. And it was maroon, just like our launch alert. Did you get the launch alert that said, watch for Northern Lights?
I did not.
Okay.
But I did watch the launch the other night.
That was almost past your bedtime, wasn't
it? But what struck me was the beautiful little tiny sliver crescent moon. That's what we were actually watching.
I didn't even notice the moon.
Oh, it was gorgeous. Spectacular.
And I missed the space station going by. No, that's all right. It was overcast this morning. And
why is that? Are we getting rain or is it going to be, what's the weather
it's
going?
It's May gray.
May gray, okay. Baby. Yep.
I just saw the forecast and we're going to have May gray all week. It's just a matter of how far inland the May gray is going to go, which I think is probably always the issue, is it not?
It is.
I believe it to be.
And it burns off typically in the afternoons. Yeah.
Tomorrow for Mother's Day is supposed to be the warmest day of the first half of the week. I guess it's the first day of the week, right?
It is.
And then they were having troubles beyond Wednesday.
They being the predictors?
Yes. The models were not coming into agreement. Sounds like a committee. Forecasting by committee.
But do you think, since you are the resident meteorologist, do you think we're done with the big rains for a while? Last year we had that massive rain in August, which was very welcome, and I know we're still months from August.
I would say probably, but as we used to say growing up, quien sabe, who knows? It would be really nice to have a tropical storm come and drop a bunch of rain on us. I don't think that caused any problems here.
I don't think so.
It'd be nice to have that rain. It really made a difference in the environment. I mean, it just changed. It changed the whole tenor of summer.
Those that, if you're growing fruit trees and such, it really made a huge difference. It not only in the appearance and the quality of the plants, it made a big difference in the water bill.
Yes, it did. Are you offering to do a rain dance?
I'll dance for you. Yeah.
No,
do
I didn't. Later. No. I don't think that was the request. Maybe we should all get together. Maybe June or July. I don't know how far in advance you have
dances
to do a rain
done,
dance.
Yeah.
You're the researcher of the group.
I'll see when.
Would you check on that?
And what specific dance needs to be done? I don't want to cause an asteroid to hit the Earth because it was the wrong dance.
Okay. That's very. I didn't even think about that potential problem.
It, so it
I'm
could
glad
happen.
That's why you're in charge
that's
of research.
That's why I got it.
Do you have any classes coming up?
We do, in fact. Today at 9 a.m. in San Diego, it's Growing Healthy Soil and Healthy Plants in an Organic Garden with Randy Ritchie from Malibu Compost. And at 9:30 in Poway, we have Talancia, Care, Culture, and Varieties with Tammy. And I saw that she had staged all the stuff yesterday before I left, and it looks like it's going to be a fun class. Next week on Saturday, May 18th in San Diego at 9, it's Lavender with Ellen. Excuse me. And in Poway at 9:30, it's Sustainable Gardening for Positive Environmental Impact. You can make a difference. And that is with Renee Murphy, our plant scientist.
Oh, and she does make a difference.
She does make a difference. And she travels the globe doing that stuff. Yeah.
Didn't we decide a few months ago that we made a difference? I don't remember why. Was it a caller? Didn't we make a difference? Didn't we decide?
I'm sure in some way we make a difference. Some of them positive and some others, but we do make a difference.
Everybody brings joy to this office. Some when they come, some when they go.
Absolutely. That is correct. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
San Diego in Balboa Park today. San Diego Cactus and Succulent Society is having a meeting and sale. It starts at 8. And that's in, obviously, the famous room.
101?
Everything's in room 101.
Yes.
The epiphyllum. Do you say phyllum or phyllum? How do you say?
I say
phyllum.
Well, I don't put the emphasis on the... I don't put my emphasis on the I. Epiphyllum.
Epiphyllum. I always said epiphyllum.
Actually,
anyway.
Yeah. Epiphyllum, epiphyllum. I do say phyllum.
Okay, epiphyllum. The society has a Mother's Day sale today from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's a lot of sale time.
That's huge. 10 p.m.?
Yep, that's what it says on their calendar.
Wow. Where is this?
Room 104.
Okay. Oh.
So it's not always in room 101.
So I lied. Yeah. So most big things. Yeah.
Now, we didn't talk about this, but do they have something about their show coming up at the wild animal or the safari park? Is there anything that you...
Not on this calendar.
There's
here,
something going on with the Epiphyllum Society at the wild animal park.
Those are gorgeous. Themselves are, they're kind of neat, but... The flowers are insane.
The flowers are spectacular. Yeah. And I think I mentioned we had gone up to, Capri and I went up to the safari park maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. And there, where they have the epiphyllums, you normally could just walk through it. It was closed, maybe in preparation
for
this.
Yeah. I have some on a raised wall, on a retaining wall. And there's a chance that some of the grassy weeds have grown over some of the containers.
Yeah. But
if you look out across... Out through the kitchen window, I can see the blooms when they show up, and they're just coming out of the weeds.
Are they like named varieties where the particular cultivars?
They were.
Yeah, right. Well, they probably still are. You just don't know what they are.
Yes.
So this goes back to one of our shows. I think it was when it was just you and I. The biggest lie we tell ourselves is I'll remember what that is.
That's exactly right. I went to a yard sale Not Tahisa Road. Anyway, it was out in that area, and the wife was a collector in the family. Anyway, I bought a bunch of them. I ended up filling up the back of my pickup truck twice and driving them down to Walter Anderson Nursery in Point Loma because I wasn't going to be able to take care of them all and keep the names and propagate them. But Dale did, right?
Isn't that what happened with Dale?
And we are still getting the progeny of those plants.
That's
and I
neat.
Took some home as well. And they're hanging in the tree and on the wall. And
they're so easy to grow.
They really are.
But
and the flowers are just incredible. It's unfortunate
they last
such a short time.
Right.
They don't look like they should be coming from that plant.
No, they
so
do
true.
Not.
So true.
The plant looks like it's just some scraggly, cacti in the middle of nowhere But so many cactus have
which is kind of like dragon fruit.
Exactly.
True.
The same, not the most exciting looking plant in the whole wide world, produces a beautiful flower.
Spectacular flower.
Mm-hmm. And I say mediocre fruit, but I'm not going to go so far as to say it tastes like dirt.
Fair enough.
We'll get off topic, but we did do a taste test once at the Poway
store.
Yes,
we did.
And there were some varieties that were quite tasty.
I wouldn't say quite tasty. They weren't as bland as the bland ones.
I disagree.
I don't think they taste bad. I don't think that...
But you wouldn't go to the store to purchase one of those just to have some dragon fruit, right?
I don't think they're worth paying up for. Aren't they $3, $4, $5, $6, $10 a fruit or something?
The last I saw were $9 a fruit.
$9 a fruit.
Yeah. You can grow them for pretty much nothing in your backyard. Yeah.
Well, I still have some edible dragon fruit growing... in my guava trees, and I've never seen a single flower nor fruit off of.
No, I did. No, we're on dragon fruit now, but I gave you a yellow dragon fruit cutting. It's probably dead somewhere, but I did give you one.
That's very true.
Then those are different.
Why are you calling? Yes, they are.
And it's probably dead?
No.
It's probably next to that pomegranate I gave you, that cutting I made for you.
I'm sorry.
Are we supposed to move on?
Yes, yes. You've had some travels this week, and we know there's a show.
There is an orchid show.
Where is the most spectacular orchid show of the week / month?
It is at the San Diego Botanic Garden in Encinitas. And go ahead.
Go ahead.
Capri and I went on, when did I take off? Thursday.
Oh, that's right. Your anniversary.
Anniversary from working at the nursery. It was incredible. They did a great job with presentation. In fact, that was one of the key things Capri kept saying is, I love how they've arranged the colors of this group and this group and this group. It was.
And you recognize that as well, I'm sure, the color arrangements.
I was amazed at the varieties of flowers. And I did appreciate the presentation. It was very well done. So John Clements, you and your team there, that was incredible.
Were there a lot of tillandsias and moss around them?
There are lots of they still have the big flower, kind of like tropical wall with carnivorous plants and other things dangling from it up against the main wall. But they do have their islands in the sky with all the plants. And there are a large number of tillandsias, specifically Spanish moss, just hanging everywhere. It really lent to the atmosphere. And it was a pretty good crowd on a Thursday.
Well, last year it was really neat. And they were switching out orchids, did he say weekly, regularly?
I think weekly as they start to decline, but there was nothing in there on Thursday that was declining. It was gorgeous.
How long is the orchid show at the San Diego Botanic Garden going to last?
That's a great question. I'll have to get that for us in a bit.
You don't have that?
I don't have that one on tip of my tongue. But I do have that this past week was...
You know what? Look at the time. If you'd like to know how long the orchid show is going to last, you'll have to stay tuned. But right now, you're listening to Garden Talk. If you'd like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. We'll be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And... we are back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I am David Ross, along with Mark Mahady and George Allman. If you would like to participate and have a question, the number here is 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Before we went into the break, I'm sure you were all waiting on the edges of your seats to know how long the orchid show at the San Diego Botanic Garden is going to last. And George, do you have that information?
I do, but I think that's some hyperbole. I think everybody that's listening is probably able to open up their computer and see. But that said, it started on May 4th and it goes through May 27th.
Thank you, sir. And they freshen regularly. And I want you to know, with almost everything we talk about, they could go onto their computer and get that information.
But what I want to say before we go any further...
Without all that hyperbole you were talking about.
Before we go any further, with regard to the San Diego Botanic Garden, our good friend John Clements, the horticultural manager there, just had a birthday this week. So I think he's either 31 or 32. I don't know exactly.
Happy birthday, John.
Wishing you the best.
Yes, happy birthday.
And we were talking about epiphyllums.
Yes, we were.
Or epiphyllums. No, I say phyllum.
You say phyllum, I say phylum.
Okay.
Tomato, tomato.
There is Epicon 17, XVII 17, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Epicon 17 at the Escondido Center for the Arts is going to be on the 25th of May, Saturday, from 8:30 to 5.
Wow. We should go to that.
I've heard us say that before. So we shall see. That would be good. I wonder if they're going to have cuttings and stuff. I should put you in charge of that.
Is it just a class or what? I mean, what is it on? Or are they going to sell plants and such?
Since you brought it up, you should have all that information at your fingertips, much like I should have had
it. It would be interesting.
That is your job. You do the color. I do the play-by-play. Okay, there's an EPI class, and then you have to fill in all
the
rest.
Oh, I got it. Got it.
Well, that would be...
That is a neat name, though, calling it EPICON.
Yeah. I'd think so, too. I'm sure they will have cuttings and things, and we'll get more information on that, but it's the 25th of May.
Got it.
And John had a birthday. They have pretty orchids. current pests.
Well, there are a lot of current pests. Now,
did you have something else you wanted to do?
No. But I was going to say, there are a lot of current pests going on in the gardens as it warms up, and there's a lot more plant material for them to get into. But when we say that, a lot of people think insect pests only. But there are other pests that are plaguing gardens. And as we were preparing earlier, you mentioned you have a problem with rats again on your citrus, right?
I was noticing they took most of my Wikiwa. I had a few. And I was noticing under my Tango Mandarin how many shells are on the ground under the tree. And I keep saying I'm going to...
Do something.
And I haven't.
Don't.
So for us, the pest du jour with regard to the fruit are the squirrels, and we're still dealing with those. But
you've got under control. a better handle on. But the rats, they're in all of the citrus trees eating.
And I think there's a larger population this year, perhaps, because we've had a number of folks come into the nursery with the very same issues. There's there are rodents eating my vegetables. There are rodents eating my fruit tree. My citrus. So I think they're out there. And then the other one that we talk about often are just gophers. And I think this year has been particularly bad. And what
or good?
Well, good if you're talking numbers to eradicate.
Or just good if you're into gopher numbers. I think they're plentiful this
year. They are very plentiful. And they're probably not an endangered species either. At least not on my property. I think my property is becoming a
haven.
A sanctuary for gophers right now.
You go to try and control them and they pop up little signs, sanctuary.
It's something. They're doing something, but there are a lot of gophers right now. And I'm so happy that our vegetable garden has hardware cloth that goes down about 2 feet around the vegetable garden because they're everywhere near there.
Smart man.
I just may do that. My neighbor's avocado tree, and she doesn't do much for gopher control. But right on the other side of my fence, there's a big avocado tree and it's grown up rapidly. And it was so loaded with fruit that I just noticed that the opening between two trees has been getting wider and wider. It's leaning at a 45-degree angle. The fruit just pulled the tree over, and I think it's partially due to the gophers under the the tree loosening the soil. But the tree is totally healthy. But there was just so much fruit, it pulled it over.
To you?
No, I mean, it's parallel to the fence, but she did borrow my avocado picker and then give me a bag of avocados and said, as soon as you need more, you just let me know. So I got a whole bunch of avocados that I did not bring to share with you guys.
That was very kind of you, but thanks for the tease.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You made me...
What are you... Something.
Well, I wanted to look up something because you had told me, when you just said avocado, it reminded me. We also, on Sunday of last week, we had Capri and I went up to the... L.A. Arboretum, which I had never been before. And it's 127 acres. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners have been up there as garden geeks, but spectacular place. You've been there.
Is it? I have not.
It's.
If Ken were sitting here, he would have been.
And he has been because he and I chatted about it. What's neat about it, it's not in L.A. proper. It's out by the Santa Anita racetrack.
It's right
out that way.
Street, right?
It's really close to the Huntington as well. It's 127 acres, I think. Gorgeous collection of plant material, but they have an avocado section. And since you just mentioned avocados, I meant to bring this up because there are some varieties I'd never heard of, and I was going to quiz you because you are the avocado guru here. And
quiz,
I was wondering if you had heard some of these. There was one, there were Haas and Fortes and Zutanos and the kind of standard stuff that we're all familiar with, but there was one called a Rockwood. Are you familiar, ever heard of a Rockwood avocado?
No, but you're going to segue me into my youth, but go ahead.
A Mesa avocado?
No.
Elsie?
L-C or
E-L? E-L-S-I-E.
Nope. And just for the record, L, P, period C period, I don't know either.
Okay, I was going to say I was going to ask that one next.
I didn't have to differentiate.
There's a Murrieta green avocado, a MacArthur avocado, a Knowles, K-N-O-W-L-E-S, an Emerald, and then they had some Fortes, but they had a Forte Whedon, W-H-E-D-O-N.
No.
Wow.
I was shocked because Capri and I were walking through there, and you know, we just kind of started out, you know, seeing some big Haas and Fortes, and all of a sudden she said, "Have you ever heard of this?" And I said, I haven't. And so I started paying more attention to all the signs to ask you about it, if you had heard any of these as the main guy here.
We talk about the University of California Riverside citrus collection. They also have a list, and it's a similar list of all the different avocados. I don't know if they have them in production, but there were hundreds of varieties of avocados of which I was unaware. However, I grew up out in East County near the intersections of Avocado and Fuerte. And Calavo is one of the main streets. And Calavo was the grove manager out in that area.
I love that agricultural history. What was so fascinating about the Arboretum, which we'll get back to.
But all the streets around where I grew up, Calavo, Avocado, Fuerte, Puebla, is a variety of avocado. I did not know that until I went to the UCR to see that Puebla was one. But one of the other streets in that same area is Rockwood. And I did know.
Yeah.
I didn't associate Rockwood with
this. As an avocado.
Interesting.
But my friend Ken lives close to Queen, which is a variety of avocado.
Right.
He lives close to Nabal. I mean, it's all in the same area. Nabal or Nabal, which I do know is a variety of avocado.
Yeah.
But all of the streets around there
are
avocados. And Rockwood was one that I did not know.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And another piece of agricultural history that they have a coach barn there that they used to keep, you know, animals and carts in, and they've restored it, and they have photographs up from the earliest days of this ranch. It was a working ranch.
The Arboretum?
The Arboretum was a big working ranch, and there's a home on there, and it's called the Queen Anne Cottage, which was built in the late 1800s for Baldwin, the guy that owned it at the time, his wife. But that is the house from Fantasy Island, where Tattoo is up in the top and says, the plane.
Plane.
And he's up in that running around. He comes down. There's a big lake there, Baldwin Lake, that the seaplane that brings the passengers in was actually on that lake, and they towed it to make it look like it was being
flying or taxiing.
And that's where the people got off for the show. But in researching while we were there, that particular lake, along with some of the grounds, have been used in movies for decades. The Road to Singapore. I'm an old Bob Hope fan. I met him. I have a photograph with him. He did Road to Singapore with Bing Crosby, and they did it in that pond area in this big jungle because they have so many tropical looking plants. It could be anywhere in the tropics. It was gorgeous. And
wow,
so there's a long history of movies being made there, as well as the rich agricultural history that took place in that valley.
I love Bob Hope, and one of my favorites is Call Me Bawana.
Oh.
And I watched that again for the
37th time.
A few months ago. It's he's very entertaining. But not to get totally away from the avocado thing, I did a yard doctor consult up in North Escondido, East Escondido, and a lot of the streets I drove on were the similar names that I grew up in, in the Avocado Fuerte area, which is just, it's part of our history. And I was also, at the Boll Weevil in Lemon Grove while it still existed, and on the wall was a picture of Mount Helix from Spring Valley. And you look across the valley of Casa de Oro, and all you see are avocado trees. It was taken in 59, I think the picture said. And you can see my parents' roof. They built their house in 57, and you can see their roof in that picture because it was one of the few houses amongst the avocados that were still there. And you can clearly see their white rock roof from 1957 in that picture.
Yeah, as I said, I love that agricultural history stuff. And in fact, John Clements, the aforementioned John Clements, he regularly post some history narratives and photographs from San Diego's rich agricultural history. Some fascinating stories about what used to be here, whether it was the Ramona being the turkey capital of the United States, or the big peach farm that was
still is,
or the big peach farm that was at the edge of Midland, end of Midland rather, in Poway. Just so much history.
That was the peach thing that he was talking about. Nematodes wiping
it
out, right?
Wiped it out. Yeah, and then Nemagard rootstock came.
Oh my goodness, I've gotten so much into our conversation.
That's
I'm not
good.
Paying attention to the clock. If you would like to give us a call. If you are listening, give us a call. The number is 888-344-1170. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back. Okay, so Rose from Escondido, which I think people know is my sister.
Right.
Is now Rose from Arroyo Grande, hopefully soon to be Rose from Napomo. But she, while visiting a couple of weeks ago, picked up some baklava. She says the best baklava comes from El Cajon. I don't know. I'm just passing on those words. But she didn't take enough baklava home. So she wanted to make her own baklava, and all of the recipes call for orange blossom water. So she reached out to the gardening expert.
But only you were available?
And only I would take her call.
See, George didn't.
And she wanted to know, because she doesn't have any orange blossoms, but she has the Meyer lemon, and it was bred with an orange. That was her words. And so she wanted to know if she could use lemon blossoms. And my first reaction was, no, probably not. But I was home, so I did further investigation. What do you guys think? Orange blossoms, lemon blossoms. The fruits are very different. What do you think?
The fruits are different, but when I have not noticed a, and again, not I haven't done any research per se, but I have not noticed a distinct delta difference between the different citrus fragrances. I'm sure there are subtle differences that I don't discern, but when I go out there, the lemon tree smells like a citrus tree.
Right. Well, according to Trini Lopez and Peter, Paul, and Mary,
it does smell very pretty.
So I started with the lemon tree, and it smelled very sweet. And then I went to my mandarins, and they all smelled very sweet. And I went to an orange, I'm trying to remember which one that was blooming, and it smelled very sweet. They all smelled almost the same.
Right.
I'm sure if I was blindfolded and somebody brought up the different blossoms, I might be able to discern a difference, but
sure,
they all smelled the same. What I did notice was the Meyer lemon blossom was probably 3 to 5 times the size of the mandarin orange blossoms, probably double the size of the orange blossoms, and not as big as the grapefruit blossoms, which all makes sense, but I think she should try it with lemon blossoms since that's what she has.
Agreed.
What do you guys think?
I totally agree.
I would agree with that. See what happens.
Have you? You're a baker, aren't you?
Yeah, but I don't.
You don't do baklava. Baklava.
I have not. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll eat it.
I'll eat it too. But
that's how you. That's the way
totally
you do
different.
The. You know, that's not the same. It's like the dragon fruit. Well, I'll eat it if you give it to me, but I'm not going to go get any. I'm not going to grow it.
It's not worth it. So, anyway, we do believe that lemon blossoms could be substituted for orange blossoms in a pinch for those of you out who are concerned. Kevin Grangetto has been blowing up my phone with tips, and so I'm going to share with you the most important thing he has told me so far this morning, which is
Trini Lopez is great.
Trini Lopez is great. Thank you, Mark.
You're welcome.
That was all compliments of Mark Mahady, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Are we done now?
No, we're not done. There's more stuff to talk about.
What's coming up?
Well, the other thing that we did after we did the Arboretum, which, by the way, if you try to say it without, you know, if you look at it quickly.
Arboretum?
You can struggle through that. So Arboretum. After we did that.
Yes,
we,
you could.
We drove down to Knott's Berry Farm. Now, oh, wow. It's a big amusement park, and this is a garden show. We're not going to talk about it, the amusement park part, but that place has been around now for over 100 years.
Yeah.
And as everyone knows, it started out as a berry farm, and they made their little...
Is that why they call it Knott's Berry Farm?
That could be very well part of the equation here. But what was fascinating to me was the ride piece kind of started because there are a little restaurant that his wife started, you know, cooking at, a little tea room, built into making some chicken dinners to the famous chicken dinner place now. It just kept getting, the word of mouth grew so much that they were having these massive lines, so they put some little rides in the back to entertain people while they were waiting to get their food. And then it blew up to being America's first theme park.
Interesting. I had not known
no
that.
Idea.
Yeah. Fascinating.
It really is.
And what was neat is the grounds. I had some conflicting opinions from friends when I told them we were going up. They said, oh, it's horrible. It's degraded. There are unruly children everywhere. It's dirty.
Well, that's everywhere.
Well, exactly. But that's here's the thing. It wasn't. It was immaculate.
Oh, no, I meant unruly children.
Oh, yeah. No, and there weren't unruly children. It was immaculate.
Well, don't talk to those people.
It was very clean. The bathrooms were clean, but the landscaping was beautiful. All the plants were well maintained, and you could tell that they put fresh plantings in different areas throughout the season, depending on what was going on. And the other side of the park where they have Independence Hall, if any of you have been there before, where they have a water park there, and on that side there's an Independence Hall that they built, and it's an exact replica of the one in Philly. With an audio show, you can sit inside and hear the signers, you know, going through the motions and everything they did to sign the Declaration of Independence. But those grounds were immaculate. And so it was a very, overall, a great experience.
I was there 20-plus years ago.
Oh, you used to go all the time, yeah, way back when.
And I remember it being clean and nice and rustic. It looked like an old Western town.
And it is
town.
Still very rustic, but...
Right. Not rustic in a
Not in a negative way. No, I understand. Exactly. But that's the design. It's supposed to be an old... You know, we were talking about the rich agricultural history of Southern California, San Diego... But that's rich agricultural history right there as well.
There was a train there, too. Is there still
a train
there?
It's still there. It's an old train from the 1800s that used to be from Colorado. Yeah.
Well,
and you know,
congratulations. That's neat. You got to go check that out.
And we, you know, despite being older, we were like kids going on rides, but we're not going to talk about rides.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Are there still berries on the property there? Or?
Not. They sell berries, you know, like the way that you see them in the big box stores in a little packages, you can purchase them, but not the way it used to be, no.
No fields.
No, no not rows. That I saw anyway.
And right. I remember sitting down in a cafeteria-like thing with benches and stuff and eating. Is that, no?
Not that I saw.
That's a long time ago. Long, long time ago.
But what was interesting, during the Great Depression, when everything else was going down with prices, he kind of doubled down and bought more land. Instead of, you know, kind of shrink in because of the Depression. And that really paid off for him because when things started to come back, he had all this land available to him.
How big is that park? Do you have that
there? I don't
have
that number, no.
But it's
big enough.
I'm sure
it's in this. Yeah, it's very big. It's, again, landscaping was gorgeous and a great piece of American and Southern California agricultural history right there.
Which is rapidly disappearing.
It is disappearing,
exactly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very sad. Thanks, George, for bringing us down again.
I'm here for that.
Oh, my gosh. If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. But you were we were talking about agriculture, and you've got Plant Grow Eat.
Correct. Now, I think last week Ken mentioned he was going to try to get up to the Del Mar Fair.
He did.
To see the
infield.
Right. And he did.
They've done a really nice job with the infield and getting it ready. And traditionally, Plant Grow Eat was something that happened during the fair. And my late friend Jill Coughlin, I believe, started it. I that was my first introduction to Plant Grow Eat and the infield really at the fair was, I don't know, 20 or 30 years ago when she asked me to be a radish judge. Did you ever go up in a radish judge, Mark?
I did not.
But so... What she would do is in the weeks before the fair or the months before the fair, she would go to different schools and classrooms around the county and take kids pots, soil, and seeds and instruct them. And the kids would then plant their radish seeds, and the class would have their all of their radish seeds, and then they would get to take a field trip to the fair where they would go before the fair would open or as it was opening, and they would go to the infield and they would have their radish seeds judged, and they would receive ribbons, and then they could keep their radish seeds or radishes, their radish plants now at this point, or they could donate them to the fair and then go enjoy a day at the fair. And that program was tremendously successful. They did thousands and thousands of kids every year, but schools have changed their calendars, and so a lot fewer schools are open during the fair time. And so now they're doing the plant, grow, eat is happening before the fair. So they had to dress up the infield and get it potted and planted in the vegetables and the fruit trees. And it looks really, really neat. And it's, I think it's next week or the week after, then the plant, grow, eat will happen.
That is neat. And Ken said that they had an opportunity to taste some of the collard greens. And that struck me as odd because Ken doesn't strike me as a collard greens guy.
No, but guess who might be?
Melanie.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We made collard greens a couple weeks ago. We had our friend Mary over, and we made a nice southern dinner, and it were collard greens.
She dragged him down the collard green rabbit hole.
That's awesome.
They were gorgeous. And it always amazes me how well those plants turn out. The Rich gets those plants to do in the infield because it's cool. It's right on the coast.
And that's
right.
May Gray.
There's constant wind blowing through there.
Yeah.
But he wraps the raised planters in plastic. So he puts a layer, like
saran wrap.
1 or 2 foot of saran wrap around it to keep the wind down around the vegetables and increase the heat. And things do so well.
Yeah, they looked great. I know last year. But what you said about the radishes, when parents come in or people come in with children looking for seeds when they're going through and the kids are grabbing watermelon or corn, I try to get them to the radishes. Get the other stuff, but get the radishes.
Something that they can be successful
with.
They're
going to be, and very quickly, 28 days they're eating a radish, or 30 days, depending on the varieties. And it is so neat to watch children plant that seed. You know, having grandkids, you watch that seed, and then they're able to eat it.
Well, that's the history of California. It's the history of the fair, and we're losing that history rapidly, and bringing that to these kids, and then they can come to the farm. Many of them have not grown plants before, and getting to see where it's actually coming, the things that we eat are coming from. It's really neat. And I took a phone call from somebody at the fairgrounds yesterday, and they are trying to put together a committee to try and try and figure out what we need to do to keep agriculture as part of not just our history, but our present and our future. And it's disappearing very quickly. So hopefully we can make some kind of a progress in that area.
Yes.
Agreed.
If you would like to give us a call, the number here is 888-344-1170. You're listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take our last break and be back right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we are back with lemon tree wars. Okay, all who think Trini Lopez was best, say aye.
Aye.
And Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Aye. I'm a Peter, Paul, and Mary fan.
Yeah,
sorry.
I am too.
I like the harmonies.
It's all right.
Yeah. And I don't think I've well, I probably have heard, but I didn't recognize Trini Lopez. Okay. Is Trini short for Trinidad?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I assume, but I don't
know. Kevin gave two thumbs up for Trini. So okay. It's a tie. We're going to need a tiebreaker. Brendan, I don't want to put any pressure on you, sir. Yeah. Preferences?
They both have pros, and they both have
very like, diplomatic.
Oh, Brandon, you're running for office soon, huh?
Take all a stand.
All right, twist my arm enough. I guess I have to go with Peter Paul.
There we go. Bravo. All right.
Sorry. We were talking about avocados earlier, and Kevin, not to go by without being part of the show, sent me pictures from the California Avocado Commission. Avocados are ripe. And in there, I love avocados. I will just sit down and eat an avocado, or I'll sit down and scoop out the half shell with chips
or something.
I
bring it to lunch and I'll eat it almost like an apple. I'll just cut it in half and eat it.
Back right corner of the picture he sent, did you see the avocado smoothie?
I've actually had avocado smoothies.
Does it taste better than it looks?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it looks like a kale drink or something. Yeah. It doesn't look good.
As humans, we are kind of prone to look at something that's turned green and not want to eat it.
It's kind of like water with aloe chunks in it. Right? It's just something that people should not consume, right?
Correct. Yeah. But it is. It actually is very tasty.
All right. Can we switch over to... I don't know what we should switch over to. You talked about leaf cutter bees, I thought, last week.
Mm-hmm. I think we just did. We touch on it last week. It was a Wednesday wisdom from a couple weeks ago. And what was I think struck Ken and I when we were looking at it was not that there are leaf cutter bees, they're great pollinators.
Yeah.
But what was struck us was the fact that there are us.
That's better.
Yeah. What struck us was that there were like 1,600 identified.
Right.
Bee species in California.
You
1,600
know,
bees.
I was reading that and hoping that the leafcutter bees were the damage to the avocado leaves, but I still don't know what is notching the leaves. I don't know if it's birds or what is ripping.
It's
not the semicircle.
Right, because it looks almost like someone took a hole punch and just did a half circle. They do a very good job of cleaning out that leaf. But they're great pollinators. They do a great job on a number of plants. I think alfalfa is one of the big things that they do.
Wasn't alfalfa somebody's sidekick in a show?
In The Little Rascals.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's not what we're talking
about.
Okay,
no.
I do have to say something semi-off topic, but not...
That's odd for you.
Two things.
Go ahead.
One, it's wonderful to have my sister Rose back in the mix. But she said, Mark, and I apologize, Peter, Paul, and Mary win. However... Trinidad was his name, and it's nice to hear the show again. So we have one extra listener once again.
Good.
Must be by podcast, because I don't think we're broadcasting in Arroyo
Grande.
Well,
you can listen live. It doesn't have to be podcast.
I'm sorry. That's what I meant.
You
could
be streaming. Okay.
Yes. Excellent. And anyway, go back to the leafcutter
bees.
So
the leafcutter bees, they don't eat the leaves. It's a misconception. They other insects that chew the leaves and eat them, they cut it and they actually fly away with that thing kind of folded in half between their legs, and they go and insert it inside their nest to line the nest.
Well,
and
it all makes perfect sense. We espouse the virtues of leafcutter bees, but leafcutter ants we don't like. They're bad and they have to stay out of the country.
Good point. We saw the leafcutter bees in the St. Louis Botanical Garden.
I remember the leafcutter ants.
Yeah,
at the wild animal park.
And that is fascinating.
Trashing stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe while Kevin is listening, he can tell me what is ripping apart the edges of my avocado leaves. It happens every year, and I've never seen a bug to do it. And for some reason, I was thinking birds might be doing it, but the patterns... don't look like a ripped up squash
leaf. Any chance
leaf.
Of seeing a grasshopper on there? Because, I mean, they do eat in a similar fashion, but it's much more jagged.
It is very jagged, and because of the amount of damage, I would say no.
Okay.
But I don't...
You know, the locust plagues can wipe out a whole
yes,
farm,
they can,
so.
And I would not be surprised if a plague came my way. But so far, I don't think so. And for there to be this much damage, I would think I would see the grasshoppers, because it's not just a leaf on this branch.
Right.
It is a dozen leaves on a dozen branches.
So a while back, actually it's been...
Which is a whole gross of leaves.
At least a gross. Several years back when I was having issues in the garden, thinking I was having rabbits eating my kale, you know, I purchased a trail camera and I set it out and it was able to discern that it was not rabbits, it was rats. I'm thinking you purchased a trail camera shortly after that for similar
Yes,
use.
I did.
How's that working for you?
I still have it.
Okay, I'm thinking...
In its original box.
Follow me here. I've got an idea.
Okay, go ahead.
You take that out of the box. You put batteries in it. You put the card chip in there, the memory chip, and you go put that outside today when you get home.
So your suggestion is that by deploying the camera, it would be useful, helpful?
It will be much more helpful. And that said, if it's a small insect or something, it typically does not trigger...
I got you.
But something like a mouse, triggers it.
That is actually good. That's a good idea. We've had this discussion before. Maybe I just need to follow through. Marcus, do you have any ideas about that?
No. I think George is right. Use it. Yeah, you got it. Use it.
That's what they say. Oh, you know, Kevin did what we do. Send me a picture of the leaves. It's hard to tell by, you know, just...
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah. That's exactly the right answer. He is the avocado. So, you know... We're bringing Kevin in the fall to teach an avocado class, actually.
Well, I'm looking forward to that because I do want to listen and learn. And is Grace still potentially participating?
I don't know. Kevin, that's on Kevin's shoulders.
Okay,
We don't want to get out over our skis on that one.
While we're talking about Kevin and avocados, I do want to go back to lemons for a moment because when I think of Grangettos, I now think of lemons instead of avocados.
But not because of Kevin.
Well, because of his... brother, right?
Right.
Because the lemon industry is changing in Southern California.
Well, it goes back to what you said earlier with regard to the agricultural, you know, trying to keep that rich history. It's changing.
It becomes more and more difficult as the value of land goes up.
What's one of the ways that people that have farms are able to stay in business in some areas, they're doing the agro-tourism thing, which we talked about before, like the olive place we went to in Arizona, where they grow olives, they make olive oils, but they turn it into this big tourist place where you can come and watch the process and get involved and taste all the different oils. And that's another way to keep those segments of agriculture alive.
It is.
Because
it is.
Just keeping a piece of land and growing, you know,
right,
it's, something on it isn't as
so we need to turn Grangettos Farm into a destination. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm thinking.
It really would be neat. It would be different than rounding up cattle and moving them from one state to another.
Correct.
But the part of the problem, though, is there is a lot of pressure to get agriculture out
else. Yes, and that's where that tourism thing can help stave off the predatory folks with all that money. Because
well,
you can
I don't
bring...
just mean money. I mean regulation.
Oh, regulation makes it challenging.
Oh,
absolutely. So, agreed.
Do we have any classes
we
coming
We do today,
up?
Saturday, May 11th at 9 a.m. in San Diego, growing healthy soil and healthy plants in an organic garden with Randy Ritchie. And at 9:30 in Poway, Talancia's Care, Culture, and Varieties with Tammy.
Kevin thinks that we need to live broadcast from the farm. And
he says that all the time.
That's going to bring everybody out.
Let's do it.
Okay, I don't.
It has
know
to be enough. Warm though, Kevin. I get cold if it's outside in the morning air.
It's perfect temperate weather. It's not, but I would be more concerned about it being hot in.
Oh,
Escondido.
Hot's fine. We can handle that.
Well, not the people that are going to come out. They don't want to be out there baking in unless it is a baking situation.
Got it. All right.
You have been listening to Garden Talk on KCBQ and KPRZ. Auto Talk is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.